Good morning, everyone. And I wanted to come on for a few minutes and have a spiritual energy fellowship session with you. And I'll give everyone a few minutes to come on. But just to give you an update of where I'm at, I was diagnosed with cancer in the bile duct between the liver and the pancreas. And it's just a very, very small dot. They said it was about the size of the head of a pencil lead, so it's not big at all. They caught it in plenty of time. And so they have to do some more biopsies on the 19th of October. And depending on what they find, if it is there in the bile duct, then they will remove the bile duct and also remove about one third of the liver that was working with the bile duct. And that would be the operation, and I would be finished, and it would be removed. And they're positive they can remove it if it's what it looks like. If they go in and find that it's spread and it's in the liver, then I would go on chemo and wait for a donor. Now, this is what I believe with all my heart. I believe that when I go in and have my biopsy on the 19th, for them to figure out exactly what it is, the type cancer it is, I believe we're just not going to find anything. I believe I'm going to be just fine. And it will be a testimony of healing that the Spirit has given to us. And if it doesn't happen, then I believe that the second option is what will take place, and it'll be a testimony of the Spirit healing us. So that's where I'm at right now. It does cause me some pain and nausea, and normally in the afternoons is my worst nausea. That's why I went ahead and set up for this morning, and I'll probably just have morning sessions until all this is over. If I have those, that I wanted you to understand why I switched from the evening, because everybody seemed to like the evening ones better. It was a good time frame for them. So that's where I'm at, and I'm trusting the Spirit, and I know where the Spirit dwells, and that's in you and in me. And I'm trusting with all my heart that the things that need to be done will be done, and I will continue to do the work that I'm doing. And I do want to talk to you just a little bit about the live broadcast before I get into my thought. And that is that right now I'm in the middle of a move. This will be my last broadcast here. We will be completely moved into the other place by this coming weekend. So be in prayer for me there. I have several brothers that are going to be helping me. Excuse me. And I will be moved out of here, and I did it to downsize, and I did it to get myself out of debt. I won't owe anything, and it took a lot of work to get there, and I'm going to have to really squeeze for a while to be able to do the things that I want to do. So be in prayer for me. Those of you that have supported me, I really want to say thank you. Whether that support is in prayer, I know some of you, I've been to your places, I've been to the countries, and I know that you cannot. It's all you can do to find something to eat for the day for your family, or find a job or anything, and it's very hard, and I understand that. Your prayers are needed and wanted, and I thank you for those. And I thank you for coming on, for supporting us in every way that you can. And those of you that can support through other ways, through finances and things like that, I want to thank you again. I know I don't do that enough. And I don't sit here and beg for money or for funds or anything else. I've never done that. But I do want to thank those of you that are supporting and are sending funds and are helping us to continue on with the understanding, the revelation, and things that we have. So love bless all of you. And everything that you do, we appreciate it. Whether it's prayer, whether it is your energy and desire for these things to spread, whether it's your financial support, whatever it is, all of those things are very important to me. So thank you. And I want to take just a few minutes and talk about binding and loosing, and how it works in a season. And, you know, I the last session that we had, I believe I discussed where Paul talked about in Romans, Paul said that we have not been given the spirit of fear again, but we've been given the spirit of his son, and we cry, Abba, Father. And Paul went into how that's the spirit we have now, and we're not living in a spirit of fear. And I know that we have taught for years now that there's only one spirit. And I don't have a carnal mind and a theophany mind and a spiritual mind. I don't have three minds. I have one mind. And the theophany is an attribute of that mind. And the carnality is an attribute of that mind. And spirituality is an attribute of that mind. And so when I read that scripture, I have to say to myself, what is Paul talking about? Because there's not a spirit of fear and a spirit of crying sonship, crying Abba Father. So it has to be that he's talking about one person and one mind. And when I got to thinking about it, just like James said, a double-minded man can't receive anything. Well, double-minded just means that you are taking these attributes, not understanding them, and mixing them up, and thinking you're moving from the carnal mind here, and you're moving from the spiritual mind here, and you're moving from the theophany mind there, and no, they're all one mind. And so when he cries, Abba, Father, it's a change of your spirit or a change of your theophany. When you're actually, he says, you're not given a spirit of fear again, showing that you had a spirit of fear and then you moved past that that manifestation into an attribute of sonship, crying Abba Father. And so it's one mind, and you were in the theophany, and when you were birthed into that little baby from your mother's womb, you were given, or you entered into, an atmosphere of a spirit of fear. And the theophany feared everything. It feared every move it made. It feared everything that it did. It was afraid to walk. It was afraid to do certain things. It was afraid to leave its mother. It was afraid to leave its father. The theophany come into a world of the earth, which it didn't have before. That was an attribute inside the theophany. And it came into the world of earth and birthed it and manifested it. And then it was a spirit of fear. A fear of drowning, a fear of not being able to fit in, a fear of rejection, a fear of, that was your theophany, had all those fears within it. And Paul says, through Christ, We've been not been given a spirit of fear again. So we've moved past that, and he says we're crying, Abba, Father. Well, the word Abba, Father, the word Abba, it is a connotation of adoption. So what is it saying? Before you feared all of these natural things around you. You feared all the spiritual things around you. You feared the world. You feared you were doing the wrong thing. You feared you were not good enough. You feared you were sinning. You had all these fears about you. And the theophany, knowing that it has no sin, it has none of those things, and it had all that fear of bringing this upon it. And as you grow older, as you mature and as you progress, you begin to realize you begin to leave that spirit of fear and you take on a spirit of adoption. Well, what are you adopting? You're adopting your flesh earth, your carnality attribute. You had a theophany attribute. You're adopting your carnality attribute and you're bringing those two together and making them one new man. You were twain, a spirit of fear, Abba Father, and you brought the two together. You're adopting your earth body. You're adopting the ways of the earth. You're adopting all these things. Instead of fearing it, you're accepting it. Adoption just means to bring something in and accept it and lay down your fears and learn what you are doing is a good thing. And it's something to take you further than where you used to live. The fears you used to live in, the civilization you used to live in, all of those things of theophany is taking you into humanity. And theophany feared humanity. But as we take humanity and adopt it and bring it into us and accept it for what it is and love it, then we're taking these two attributes of theophany, mind, and carnality, and we're joining them together, making them one. And Paul says that makes you a spiritual man. He said that which is carnal is first, and then that which is spiritual. So you step into the earth, you take on the carnality, you join these two attributes in your mind together, you become one, and you accept who you are, and you adopt yourself and your surroundings. You adopt it all and you become one, and then you become a spiritual person. Spirituality has to do with accepting the world. Spirituality has to do with accepting those things that you fear and becoming one with them. Spirituality has to do with enhancing and changing and bringing the theophany into the world, the existence of the world, and making this your home. And knowing you're never going to leave this earth. It's yours. It's where you manifest yourself. So we see that. And as we're talking about this, so what I'm talking about really is loosing and binding. Can you loose that spirit of fear? Let it go. Get rid of it. Lay it aside and say to yourself, these things are what I came here for. I came here to understand the earth. I came here to understand my being and the attributes within me. I came here to understand all of these things about myself. I didn't come here to fear it, to back off from it, to separate from it. That was a good gospel at one time. But we're moving past those fears of separation and church age and all of those different things that we had within us. We're moving past those fears now. So Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 23, he makes a statement. He says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we read that, we say to ourselves, okay, if we sin, we're going to die. And if we can somehow accept Jesus Christ, we're going to live. And we get that whole concept, and really what you're doing is you're making works out of it. I will work towards not sinning, and I will work towards accepting Jesus Christ. And you're putting all your works and all your effort into something that Paul didn't mean that at all. When he said that, he talked about sin and the wages of sin. Now, the word wage means a reward, a payment, or a compensation for something that you did for someone. And so Paul is saying, when you work in such a manner under the law, then sin, missing the mark, once you miss one of the marks of the law, brings forth death. And Paul is bringing that to us and explaining that to us. And then he says, the wages of sin is death. And then he said, but, look at that word in there. Go look that word up and just study it out, and you'll find out that the word but means disregard everything I just said. Take everything I just said, everything behind the word but, and put it to the side because it's not in effect anymore. If I say, I'm sick, but now I'm healed. Well, put aside the fact that I'm sick because I said I'm healed. The word but disregards everything before it. And that's what Paul was doing. He wasn't writing and saying, the wages of sin is death, and if you sin, you will die, and if you do this, you'll suffer and you'll have punishment. What he was saying was, the wages of sin is death. But put that aside. It's not in effect anymore. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is in effect? Paul is saying what's in effect is eternal life. The gift that was given to us through recognizing who we are through our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Paul is saying by recognizing that fact, you have no more sin. You don't have to worry about everything before but. The word but comes in and says, the wages of sin is death. That was true. That was a dispensation, a place where that all men died under Adam. And then Paul puts a great word in there and he says, but disregard that all men died in Adam. Disregard that the wages of sin was in effect and it brought death on everyone. Disregard all that because now, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's what's in effect now. Eternal life is what's manifesting now. And what we need to do is put away that spirit of fear. The theophany that was afraid of sin when you first came here and it backed away from everything and said, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't fellowship with this person, I can't be with that guy, I can't live that life. And the theophany scared to death of everything. That's not our dispensation now. Our dispensation is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life is operating in the earth today, and the law has been put away. There's law, there's grace, and I will tell you this. Don't let me scare you too bad. I'll read on here. But law and grace have both been put away. And don't get me wrong. I'm talking about for you because you recognize who you are. Now, for someone else out here, you may need to use grace. You may need to use that and help them through and look past all of their issues and look past all the problems and look past all those things and just keep applying grace to them. But for you, it's over. The law was a but. Everything behind that word but is of no effect now. And then grace is something that's merited to you by someone else, and grace is something that is given to you. So in the dispensation of grace, you have a mediator, an intercessor, a propitiation, you have blood, you have all of those things which was under the dispensation of grace. And that's okay. That's a dispensation of itself that you and I have already passed through, and we're living in divine love. There's three things, and that is law and grace. Remember William Branham said in Birth Pains, he said, law and grace cannot abide at the same time. There has to be one or the other. You can't have them both. We continually try to apply them both. If I sin, I die. But if I believe in Jesus, I live. But if I... And we're just back and forth all over the place. And we're mixing up dispensations and things that don't even apply to today. But you'll let it work on your mind. Law has been put away. All the ordinances. Read the book of Colossians. Read the book of Ephesians. Read what Jesus told you throughout the Gospels. Read your own self. Understand who you are and know that law has been completely put away. And you have moved past, since the opening of those seals, you have moved past. When those seals broke open, it finished up a dispensation of mediation, a dispensation of intercessory, a dispensation of propitiation, a dispensation of blood. It ended all of that up. And that was an age, seven church ages, a dispensation of grace. We've moved beyond a mediator. We've moved beyond intercessory. We've moved beyond all these things. And now we're not in law or in grace, but we have moved into divine love. We have moved into eternity. We moved into where we have no more days, no more holy days, no more Sabbaths, no more numbers. William Branham said in Future Home, no more numbers, no more fives, no more sixes, no more sevens. We moved away from all of that. We moved away from that dispensation of grace. 2,000 years ago, we moved away from the dispensation of law. Now we've moved away from the dispensation of grace, and we moved into a dispensation of divine love. Living on the farm. Everything is moving out of love. Every manifestation is out of love. So we see this now. So Paul makes that very clear in Romans 6 and 23. The law has been put away. And what's working is eternal life now. It's not working to find sin. It put away sin. It put away the law. Where there is no law, have you read your scriptures? Where there is no law, there is no sin. People just, they have a hard time accepting these things because you've been taught in your tradition, and we'll talk about it in just a few minutes, you've been taught in your tradition that you're not good enough, that you're a sinner, that you're all of these things, and therefore you have to apply all of these things to you. Well, we're beyond that. Now, Matthew 18, I think it's verse 18, Jesus was talking, and he says, talking with the Pharisees, and he says, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So the first thing I want to ask is, where does the action come from? It's very clear. The action of binding and loosing is in the earth. Whatsoever you bind in earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven. So what? Whatever movement you make in earth, it is going to multiply, or it will be in heaven. Now, we know what heaven and earth is. We've taught on it a million times. Heaven is our spirit, and earth is our body. So now we find out that whatsoever moves within our body will also affect our spirit. And he goes on and he says, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now let's look at when he was talking to one of his disciples, Peter. And it was Matthew 16th chapter. And Peter, Jesus, asks them a question. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, in his teachings and everything, he said, well, some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're one of the prophets. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're these prophets back from the dead. And Jesus didn't rebuke him over that. Because I'm going to tell you now, every one of those prophets live in us. They are not dead. They are living in us. And many of your actions and many of the things that you talk on and many of the understanding and the things that you get, much of your revelation comes from the moving of those prophets within you and understanding who you are. And we'll get into that maybe another time. But here in 16 and 19, Jesus says that, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you're one of the prophets, Jeremiah, one of them back from the dead. And Jesus said, that's all good, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when Peter makes that statement, he takes his statement away from someone believes you're Jeremiah, someone believes you're... See what Peter was doing? He was looking outside of himself for an answer. And Jesus pulled him away from looking to the outside, pulled him away from looking to another man for the answer, a system for the answer, for any of those things. Jesus pulls him away from that, and Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? He takes it right inside, and he makes Peter answer him. And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood, or other men, other people have not shown you that. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. So Jesus takes it into the spirit realm and reveals who he is. And watch what he says. And thou shalt be given the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. So now Peter has recognized in his spirit and in his flesh, in his physical body, he's looking and he says, you are the Christ. And Jesus says, now I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever you bind in earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven. And Jesus is very clearly making that statement and showing that the movement of the Spirit, once the revelation breaks, the movement of the Spirit is first in the earth and then in the heaven. If you loose something in the earth, you'll loose it in your spirit. If you bind something in the earth, you'll bind it in your spirit. You say, how can that be, Brother Parnell? Well, let's look at what William Branham said for just a minute in the Feast of the Trumpets. He makes a statement. He says, the Holy Ghost, just like paragraph 163 somewhere in there. He says, the Holy Ghost was bound by Roman superstitions. Now, I remember way back when I would read Feast of the Trumpets, that would always bother me. How can the Holy Ghost be bound by anything? How do you bind the Holy Spirit? But Brother Branham said the Holy Ghost was bound by Roman superstitions, things like holy days, the planetary lineups, the new moons, all the different things that Rome had and brought in from their pagan religion. It bound up the church. Who is the Holy Spirit? You say the Holy Spirit, some spirit moving around out here. No, the Holy Spirit dispensation is us. We are the Holy Spirit. Brother Branham said, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. These three things are not persons, but dispensations. And we're in a dispensation where that we can bind up the Holy Spirit or bind up the people. And we do that through superstitions, holy days, and worshiping angels, and having foot washings and communions and having ordinances that you have to do. You got to be baptized. You got to do this. You got to do that. If you plan, you know, we have all of these ordinances, and we have thou shalt nots, you know, and we have all this tradition set up, and you can't do this and you can't do that and be a Christian. The Holy Spirit can't dwell in you if you tell a lie. You know, I always think about, I laugh when I hear somebody say, he lied, he needs a new birth. And I think, well, poor old Brother Branham, you know, in 1965, he's preaching on trying to do God a service without his will. And he makes a statement. He said, I lied. It was very clear. A phone rang. Billy was answering it. And Billy said, it's the tax collector. And Brother Branham said, tell him I'm not here. And he ran outside. He said, I lied. Oh, Brother Branham need the Holy Ghost? Did he need a new birth? All those years of preaching and everything else, is that what he needed? No. We need to understand that dispensation is not even in effect anymore. That was null. What he did was nothing. We're in a whole complete new dispensation. So we have this going on, and it's what you do is how you bind up or loose your spirit. You are the Holy Spirit. And when you bind yourself, he said, worships of women, and you see it out here. He said, we've bound ourselves up through worship of women in the Roman dispensation. They did all that, and they had all these different women that they worshiped, and they had goddesses, and they had them, you know, having babies and Christmas and all these different things. And we set up all these traditions, and we let them rule our lives, and we bind the Holy Spirit, or we bind our spirit from being able to be set free. We put binds on our own self. And so he says it's through the worship of women, it's through organization, it's through tradition. People bound the Holy Spirit for 2,000 years. He goes on to say that in paragraph, I think he runs it through like paragraph 163 over to 243 in the Feast of the Trumpets. It's one of the greatest messages that he ever ministered. And he says that the Holy Spirit was bound by denominational rivers for 2,000 years. So we have a binding that took place. Now, you say, why did that happen? How in the world can they bind the Holy Spirit? How in the world do people allow such a thing to happen when the Holy Spirit is among them? See, we were thinking the Holy Spirit was separate. The Holy Spirit's not among us. We are the Holy Spirit. And so he says the people bound the Holy Spirit, or they bound themselves to a church. They bound themselves to a doctrine. They bound themselves to a tradition. They bound themselves to dogma and creed. They bound themselves to the teaching of the law, which was not even in effect anymore. But they bound themselves to, if I sin, I die. If I do this, I'm no good. I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, came into the world speaking lies. I read that in the Old Testament. I don't read that anywhere in the New. We were sinners because we applied ourselves to be sinners. And we bound ourselves to be sinners. And even when we recognized Jesus Christ as our mediator for years and years and years, you still thought you were a sinner, you needed Christ, you needed the mediation, you needed the blood, you had all kinds of thoughts in your mind, and you applied them, and you kept binding your spirit to feel guilty, to feel condemned, to feel not good enough. But here we find out that Brother Branham says the people was bound by denominational rivers for 2,000 years. But he says they are to be loosed. The Holy Spirit is to be loosed. Who is the Holy Spirit? You and I. We are to be loosed, to be set free from all of that tradition, from everything. And they're to be loosed in the evening time with an evening time message. And he goes on into Malachi 4, Revelation 10, 7, St. Luke 17, 30. And he starts laying out the evening time message. And he shows how that by the opening of the seals, it brings us to a brand new day, and we are loosed from all that tradition of the church age dispensation. We are loosed from the blood. We are loosed from mediation. We are loosed from intercessory. We are loosed from the fake sin, the fake gospel of the law. We are loosed from all of that, because where there is no law, there's no sin, and there's no law. And where you are perfect, and that's exactly what Brother Branham said, we have come to the perfect interpretation of the word. Where you are perfect, you don't need blood. You don't need a mediator. You don't need these things. Go read the breach. Go take a good hard look at souls in prison now. Go look at all those things and find out. Go look at the future home and find out that we're not even living in any of those dispensations anymore. We left law, we've left grace, and we've moved into love divine. It's a dispensation that came in to filter in and blend in eternity to everything that we have learned. I'm not saying we don't have those attributes in us anymore. I'm saying we're beyond those attributes and we're using other attributes now. So we see this. So the people are loosed. How were we loosed? The opening of those seals loosed us from all of our tradition, from all of our old understanding, from all of our not good enough, from all of our guilt. The opening of those seals loosed us from all that. And this is why William Branham went into a nervous breakdown after the opening of those seals. He had two in his life. He went into the healing ministry, had a nervous breakdown, and had to go off the field for almost a year. And he comes over here and he opens up the seals and he realizes that Moses and Elijah are here. There's no more sin. The dispensation of the church ages are over. And he's realizing all of that. He's taking a good look at it. And he's ministering it. And he's seeing that no one, absolutely no one, is catching it. And he finishes up his ministry of the opening of those seals. And he falls into a depressed state. Because he knows that all that ministry went back home and just started teaching the same old mediation, the same old intercessory, the same old gospel. And he's ready to quit. He tells about it. He said, I'm going to go and I'm going to become a guide and I'm going to stay in the woods. I'm going to stay out there. I'm finished with my ministry. And he said, I was planning on doing all that. And he said, then I seen a vision, seen myself sitting on a city dump. And he said, the Holy Spirit said, if you do what you're about to do, his Holy Spirit in him said, if you quit, if you go out there and do what you're about to do, you'll be a bum. That's pretty rough. And he began to feel within himself that he needed to help those people. He knew it was all over. He knew the church age was over. He knew the dispensation was over. He knew sin was finished. He knew all of those things that we had about us, that we had left it all and moved into a completely different day. So he came back with his evening time message from the opening of those seals till the time he passed away. That was an evening time message. And the church, you and I, the Holy Spirit, was loosed from all of those traditions, loosed from all of that mediation, loosed from that old gospel of mediation, intercessory. I need something outside of me. We was loosed from it, and the message began to turn inward. He said, we're not bringing people to a system, to Christianity. He said, this is a personal revelation now. That was in Christ as a mystery. So we see all these things going on. Now, in the future home, he makes a statement, which is along the same preaching in July of 64. And he says, We didn't enter into another day. He said, there's no more numbers. There's no more fives, no more sixes, no more sevens. He said, we're not in that anymore. We didn't enter into something else that is partial understanding. He said, we entered into life. Not the keeping of days and shadows. Boy, just look at the message, people. Such a keeping of days and shadows. You know, I go out and I listen to them, especially since I haven't felt real well. I've taken a lot of time and just listened to different things. It's the going thing in the message, you know. Quote, 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 quote. Bring 25 books, 25 quotes to prove some kind of whatever they're trying to prove for their day. But the big thing is going into the message, finding where William Branham said it, and then stand up there before the people and quote, quote, quote. Makes them feel real good. You can tell it. You know, they get real excited over it and everything else. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? They say they understand William Branham. They say they understand the message. They say they understand all of these things. Let me ask you this one question. If William Branham was here today, do you think that he would be getting up and quoting from Crisis of Mystery and the Unveiling of God and Faith is a Substance and saying, William Branham said here and William Branham said here and William Branham. Do you think William Branham would get up and be quoting from all of these books and carrying on saying, I said this and I said that and I said this and I. No. He would be ministering by his revelation, by his spirit anymore. And I see all these brothers doing what they're doing. They don't have the spirit that William Branham had. They don't have that understanding that William Branham had. They don't have that attitude that was brought out by him to bring new things, to bring new understanding, to break open a new day, to break away from tradition, to break away from mediation and intercessory, to break away from the rapture, to break away from all these things. We've got it in the people's head. I hear brothers today who are ministering on the raptures yet to take place. They're ministering on the dead are going to get up out of the grave when they used to stand right in my church and minister that all those things were past and we are living in heavenly places right now and we are glorified and we are moving in the earth and we come back from Sunset Mountain. They were preaching all of these things and we were living in a new day and now they've gone so far back, they went back beyond where they were at in the old church. And I'm thinking, what is going on? And I listen to them, men all over in the message, and all I hear is quote, 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 quote. And I think, what would our brother do if he were here ministering? He would minister what's in his heart. You wouldn't hear him going back and quote, 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 quote. But see, what we do is we get caught up in a dispensation. We get caught up in what Brother Branham said, Roman superstition, the worship of men, the worship of women, the worship of all of these different things, having to have organization. I said it the other day and I meant it. I said, we've been in this love divine, in this understanding. We've been here for years. In 1998, I began to see that the church system was dead. And we've come this far. Other brothers, Brother Alan Stuckless, he said, you know, in up here in Canada where we were at, we was looking at those things in 1987. See, I believe the Spirit is in us. I don't care where you're at, whether you're in New Zealand, in Canada, in South America, wherever you might be, Asia, Russia, and wherever. It doesn't matter to me. The Spirit is in you. It's who you are. And when you can tap into that understanding, you'll move beyond all of those old days. And it'll begin to wake you up to who you are in your day and message. And that's what it did for me. And I've come to this understanding and moved beyond all of that tradition and all that I'm not good enough and all of those things. I've moved beyond it. So we see that we're to be loosed. The Holy Spirit, the people are to be loosed by the evening time message, the opening of those seals, pulling us through into a brand new day. Now, in the future, homie said, we enter into life. I believe that. We are in life right now. We don't enter into another tradition. We come through 6,000 years of law and grace and tradition and all those things. Now we enter into life. We enter into all those things were dispensations that needed to bring out an attribute of mediation, an attribute of intercessor, whatever it might be, an attribute of blood, an attribute of sonship. We're beyond sonship now. But all of those things were things that we moved into and needed to move into them to understand them. Crying, Abba, Father. It's a spirit in us that wants to accept where we're at. Abba, Father. I want to adopt all of those things that are mine. I want to accept everything that's mine. I want to move beyond the tradition. I want to move beyond all those things. But it took those things for us to adopt who we are. I adopted all of those things of the last 6,000 years and said, those were me. And now I'm going to use those to move beyond and move into another dispensation of divine love. So we move into life, not the keeping of days and shadows. And there's a statement that your prophet says to you, I'm scared of your experience when you begin to keep holy days and Sabbaths and ordinances and forms and new moons and all these things. What he's saying is, I don't think you've come to where you need to be if you're willing to keep those things and act like it's what your understanding is and move into those things in such a way that it's men worship and woman worship and it binds you, it binds your Holy Spirit. And he says that, I'm scared of your experience. I don't think you've come far enough. This is what he's telling them. Loose yourself from all of these holy days, holy dispensations, holy water, holy blood, holy understanding, holy this, holy that. Loose yourself. You're a whole person. You're a holistic person now. And not everything is holy. But you accept it all and you walk in it and you understand who you are and you walk in it with all your heart and you lift up your head above all of those things, traditions and all those, and you accept the darkness, the unknown, just as readily as you accept the light, the things you do know. I accept the things that I don't know, and when I start to step into them, I'm going to understand it, and it's going to become light for me, and I'm not afraid of the darkness. The darkness is the same unto me as the light. It's exciting. I enjoy it. Abba, Father, give it to me. I want to understand what it is. That's where we should be at in love divine. So he says, not the keeping of days and Sabbath and ordinances and forms and new moons. Not the keeping ordinances. I'll tell you what. He said an ordinance was baptism. He said an ordinance was washing of the feet. He said, in rising the sun, he said, you keep all these ordinances. And he said, you never have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Father, Word, the Holy Spirit. These three are one. We need to have a relationship. It's us. We are the Father. We are the Word. We are the Holy Spirit. It's the people. It's who we are. And stop binding yourself with laws and traditions. Oh, you got to live this way. I think it's so funny to see people, they'll talk about, you know, if you have the Holy Ghost, if you have the Holy Ghost, like you don't, anybody that's not living like them, of course, doesn't have the Holy Ghost. And if you have the Holy Ghost, you won't do this and this and this and this and this. And they go right down the line and they say, you're free. You're free. You're completely free. Okay? You accept Jesus Christ. You're completely free. You accept all these things. You accept the atonement. You accept the blood. You accept all these things. Now, here's a list, this long list of things that you must do. And if you don't do them, here's a long list of things of what you are. Not good enough. Not understanding. No, you're not a Christ. You're not this. You're not that. You're a sinner. You're this. You're that. Loose yourself. The word but in Romans 6 and 23 is a great word. The wages of sin is death. But forget that now. The gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life is working in every single person. You are the Holy Ghost. You are all the things that you read. Every time you read something about the Lord God Almighty, every time you read something about the Son, every time you read something about the prodigal son, every time you read all these things, that's who you are. That's who you are. Jesus, when he told them about the prodigal son, he was just telling them about himself. Yeah. Someone said, oh, that was a sinner. And he went out and he did this. And Jesus was telling them about himself. He was in the Father's house. And he left the Father's house where all of that great stuff was, where all of those riches were, where everything was. And he came out and he stepped into the world and he began to eat of the world. He began to walk in the world. He began to live in the world. And he was in all of that, and he went through, you know, giving up his ring, giving up this, giving up that, giving up his throne, giving everything up, and walking like a peasant, and like the prodigal son, he got to the point to where he was eating the husk, he was hanging on Calvary, he was begging and pleading for mercy and death and everything else. And he come to a point to where, you know, he said, I need to go back home to the Father's house. And he left from Calvary's Hill, went back home to the Father's house and said, I'm going to bring all of my brethren. I'm going to bring all of the earth, all of the world. I'm going to bring you all through the same thing. And he came back in the form of the Holy Spirit, or in the form of the people, and he began to bring every prodigal son back to the Father's house. And that's what we're doing. Christ was just speaking of himself. So we see this. Now we see what's going on in the earth right now. And I'm going to finish up here in just a minute. We see what's going on in the earth right now. We see all the politics. You know what happened with us in 2014? What happened with us, for me, and for many of you. Many of you may have experienced this beforehand, and that's great. I don't want to take that from you. I believe that. Many of you helped me come to where I'm at. But in 2014, we seen and understood that we had moved beyond the church ages completely. We knew all that from 1998 on, but we began to break open into love divine so much around 2014. So much change for us. And when it did, and we seen all this change going on, then we began to take all those things that we used to think was the devil, we used to think was horrible things, evil spirits and demonic things and everything else, we began to realize there's only one spirit in the universe. There's not two spirits, there's only one. And we begin to realize that, and we begin to realize that science came from the Holy Spirit. The same whole, that religion came from the Holy Spirit being the people. Religion came from the people. Science came from the people. And politics came from the people. All these things come from the Holy Spirit. Everything that you're looking at, all creation, has come from the Holy Spirit. The creation began all the way back there when Adam began to create things. And so we see this, even back beyond that, civilizations and creations and everything else. So we see this going on, but we moved into an understanding that science is a process. Therefore, I can call it the devil, because the devil is not a person. The devil is just a process. And politics is a process. It's of the devil. Science is a process. It's of the devil. Devil is just a process. It's not a horrible, mean thing. It's not a spirit out here floating around trying to kill everybody and deceive everybody. Science and religion and politics are just a process. And all of those processes came from the Holy Spirit. Or all of those processes came from the people. He talks about a great whore in the book of Revelation, and he talks about a beautiful bride. Both of those processes came from the people. He talks about a beast and an image of the beast. Both of those processes came from the Holy Spirit. He talks about the Christ and the Antichrist. Both of those processes came from the Holy Spirit. If we can recognize these things, then we're going to stop worrying so much about what's going to deceive us and drive us into an unholy hell somewhere. All of those processes and conditions break from the people. Now, we have broke out through the seals and through our understanding and through our personal relationship. We have broke out of all of that tradition. And we are no longer in those type processes that we don't understand them when we think there's two spirits and duality that all come from the people. But there's only one spirit, and two is over. We're in the oneness now, and we recognize that. So we realize that when science talks about energy, they're talking about the Holy Spirit. When science, when politics talks about Democrat, Republican, Independent, you just go on and on and on, they're talking about the Holy Spirit. When religion talks about all of this denomination and all this tradition, they're talking about what the Holy Spirit did or what people did. Now, we've moved out of that dispensation, and we moved into a brand new day of divine love, and we're able to take it all, pull it all into ourselves and recognize that it's all us. Everything is us. It doesn't matter if it's the botany life, the animal life, the ocean life, the life in the skies, the birds, it doesn't matter if it's humanity, it doesn't matter what nation you are, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, yellow, brown, whatever, it does red, it doesn't matter, it's all us. We've pulled that in and realize all of this comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from us. Now, I can use that in such a way and in such an understanding. And we reformed or understood our Holy Spirit. We came to an understanding of our energy. Someone said, well, you used to call it the anointing, Brother Parnell. Now you call it energy. You call it the anointing if you want to. But my Lord, please just understand what you're talking about. You're talking about energy. You're talking about energy covers all things. It is all things. And so when we understand this, we had an escalation in our war back years ago. We were warring over exactly, is there duality? Is there two? Is there one? Is there this? Is there that? Is politics of the devil? Is religion of the devil? Are these things all going to take us to hell? Are these people going to burn? And we were warring in our minds about all these things, and we warred, and we won. We overcame. The Lamb overcame. At the breaking of the seals, the Lamb overcame and made us realize that it's all us. It's all us. And therefore, I can call what I have in me energy. I can call it anointing. I can call it oneness. I can call it all those things in me because I understand who I am. We went through an energy war. And we came out in the end that there's only one energy. It's Zoe. It's the life of the Spirit, and that is it. That is it. So now we can look and we can find purpose for what that tradition did for us, what politics did for us, what religion did for us, what sickness did for us, what death did for us. We're no longer thinking those things are ungodly, unhuman, horrible things that we got to try to keep from. We're no longer thinking that. We're now thinking, what was the purpose of that? How did that move me further along? We moved in our energy to oneness. Now, what are you looking at? You are the spirituality of the earth. You are the mind of spiritual. You are the people who took the theophany and the carnality, and you took those two attributes of the Holy Spirit, of the mind, and you pulled them together and you made them one. And when you did that, you become a spiritual person. That which is first is carnal, then that which is spiritual. You become a spiritual person. And when you become a spiritual person, you begin to put it all together. You begin to understand it. You begin to look at it. Now, there's religion, there's politics, there's economies, there's nations, there's organizations, there's systems out here just flowing everywhere. And these people are in it and they have no idea. They have absolutely no idea. So what just has begun to happen in the last few years? What are we watching is taking place in politics, we're in religion, in all these different places? We are watching an energy war, trying to come to globalization, one world globalization, trying to come to who's going to rule the economics, what's going to be the energy? Is it going to be electric? Is it going to be gas? Is it going to be fuel? Is it going to be fossils? Is it going to be, and there's a big energy war that's just rolling throughout politics. And they are experiencing the same thing we experienced in the spiritual when we had our energy war. Is this the spirit of the devil in me? Is this the spirit of Christ in me? Is this a demon? Who was going to rule? We was having an energy war, and the Lamb overcame. And when the Lamb overcame, we moved into our oneness and we stopped the energy war. And now we're just using all of it for our purpose to understand one another and come to a oneness. That's where they're at. They are wrestling through their energy war. Don't worry. Don't worry about them. They may blow up a few things. They may destroy this and that. And a few nations may topple. And all this, you know, it's an energy war. And they are going through. They have to go through it. Because you and I individually have already went through it. And we're pulling. This earth is our home. And we're pulling humanity where we're going. Or we're pulling humanity where we're at. And they are feeling that. And they're trying to figure out. And it's a huge energy war going on right now between all the nations. And who's going to rule and where's going to be the one world global system. And what kind of currency is there going to be? And what kind of economics is it going to be? And is there going to be a great reset? And they're wrestling. And some say there's not going to be any great reset. And they're going to go away from the dollar. And some say they are. And some say they're not. And you know, I get people, they write me and say, oh, you need to start buying up gold and silver. And you need to have all the gold and silver you can possibly have. And I wrote one brother back and I said, let me ask you this one question. If it's really going to happen, what you're talking about, if it's really going to happen, what good is gold and silver going to do you? Are you going to be able to eat it? Are you going to be able to plant it and grow food with it? Can you plant silver and grow food? Can you do all these things? No. If I were really worried about a great reset, I'd be buying land. And I'd be buying up organic seed. And I'd be buying up all these things. And I would have a place where I could self-live on my own, and I wouldn't have to need a dollar, and I wouldn't have to need all of these things, and I'd have it with me. And that's what I would do. Now, I'm not worried about it because I know what's going on. I know the purpose of it. We've already been through it and know our purpose. And I'm just watching them as they come through, and humanity will take care of itself. It will come to its proper purpose and its proper understanding. And things will change. They have to change. But don't worry about it. Don't worry about it at all. They're going through what you and I already went through. And you and I made it. We made it. We have this in us. Great purpose and understanding. Oneness, unbelievably. All of it is me. We have all that in us. They have to come. They have to move. They have to keep moving toward this place where we're at. Because we are humanity. And we'll bring them. Don't worry. What about Putin? What about Joe Biden? He's just a mess. Cognitively, he can't do anything. And what's gonna happen? Canada they've turned on their own people, the government, and we're looking at all this happening, and we're all scared to death, and we're all looking, and we're saying, what's going on? What's going on? Are they gonna blow one another up? Putin's talking about nuclear war. This and that. No worries, no worries. We've already went beyond and past the end of the world. We're in a new day. We're in a new world. They're struggling where you used to be. They're struggling through. And you know what they're doing? We were bound in what they are in. And we loosed ourselves. We loosed ourselves from all of that tradition, from all of that talk, from all of that fear, no longer given a spirit of fear. We loose it all. We've accepted it all. We know who we are. And they're just coming through. They're being pushed through the tube just like you and I were. And they'll make it. The Lamb has already overcome. That's us. We are the people. The Lamb has already overcome. The Holy Spirit has already set up His kingdom. That's us. That's you and I. It's going on all around us. And we are pulling them to where we're at. No worries. No worries. Enjoy your life. Live long. Prosper. Fellowship with one another. I'll get through these things I'm going through. We'll be together. We'll enjoy one another. We'll fellowship with one another. I see hundreds of you writing all the time. Beautiful things. And I just sit and I read and I cry and I think, Lord, look at where they're at. They know who they are now. They have an understanding of who they are now. They're not talking about systems and organizations. They're not worshiping men. They're not worshiping women. They're not into any superstitions. Look at them. And I just love to watch it. Enjoy your life. Spread your understanding. Give your revelation. It's what this is about. We've moved into our day. Let's watch them and help them come, continue to put out our revelation, and our revelation will overcome all things. It is the Lamb that overcomes. Love bless you, and I will announce when my next live broadcast will be, podcast, but I want you to pray for me, and I will be praying for you, and let's believe together that that we know who we are, and let's stand on that, and let's walk forward. We are the overcomers. Love bless.